I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Scripture reading today is from Joshua, 3rd chapter, verses 7 through 17. The Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, so that they may know that I will be with you as I was with Moses. You are the one who shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant. When you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan." Joshua then said to the Israelites, "Draw near and hear the words of the Lord your God." Joshua said, "By this you shall know that among you is the living God, who without fail will drive out from before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Gershagites, Amorites, and the Jebusites. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is going to pass before you into the Jordan. So now select 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. When the soles of the feet of the priest who bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan flowing from above shall be cut off. They shall stand in a single heap." When the people set out from their tents to cross over the Jordan, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant were in front of the people. Now the Jordan overflows all its bank throughout the time of harvest. So when those who bore the Ark had come to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped in the edge of the waters flowing from above stood still, rising up in a single heap, far off at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan, while those flowing toward the Sea of Arabah, the Dead Sea, were wholly cut off. Then the people crossed over opposite Jordan, while all Israel were crossing over on dry ground. The priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan until the entire nation finished crossing over the Jordan. May God add His blessing to the reading of this word.
Thank you, Jack. I figure any man who can do a Sunday school class on 1 Kings can say all the tough words. Did a fine job. We're here on All Saints Day recognizing those who have gone before us. And as I said, this has been going on for generations, and for generations, as you know, there have just been one generation after another going and going, and yet all too often, many of the people that have gone before us and many of the people in our world today feel like that they can't be replaced. History has been full of such individuals, the thought of, if I'm not here to make things happen, nothing will happen. There are so many variations on the comments, but ultimately, those who say this and those who believe this find that we're all replaceable. Now, you may be thinking, well, that's just not a really good message. I hate to think that I can be replaced. But it actually is a good message, because we know that things don't stop once we pass on. This story tells us so much. It tells us that Joshua took over from Moses. And there's even this little part in there that says, and there were none like Moses. Moses was the greatest. And yet, when we look at Moses and we think, well, you know, Moses, he parted the Red Sea, and the Israelites went across on dry ground, and, you know, that's a pretty good miracle. Well, Jack just read where Joshua did the same thing. It wasn't the Red Sea, but he parted the water and the people went across. The irreplaceable can be replaced. Considering the long history of human existence, why do you think anyone would think of themselves as irreplaceable? Abraham, the father of faith. Oh, wait a minute. You know, there goes Abraham. Then you have the judges. Then you have Moses. And then it goes on and on. The history of the Hebrew people, the Israelites, never stopped. They kept going. And yet all these greats passed away. God would never allow such a thing to happen, to let it just end with one person. Isaac took over from Abraham. Jacob, who became Israel, took over from Isaac. Joseph took over from Jacob, and on and on and on. Not one of the major players in the Old Testament or New left this world without a replacement. Paul passed away, and yet there were those who went out and continued building the church and making the Christianity spread across the world. And so it has been, and so it is. As I said, today is All Saints Sunday. We pay our respects to those who have gone before us, who have blazed a trail, who made this beautiful building possible. And they had a building before that, and a building before that, all the way back to the late 1800s. Churches have been built, and they continue to be built, and here we are because of the people who went before us. And they didn't just build churches, they built families. Some of you have been in this church for many, many years. Your parents were in this church, your grandparents were in this church. And it goes on and on. Whose footsteps are you walking in today? Who made it possible for you to continue on? They have left their legacy, our legacy. And it's indeed a wonderful thing. But through their passing, we are called upon to continue. And that's the thing right there that Joshua is doing. And what we read in this is it didn't end with Moses. It doesn't end with those who go before us. We pick up. Ben Nash passes away. He has children who take that ball and go forward. Evelyn, Bobby, we continue. We keep going. That legacy keeps going. Teresa and David, the legacy continues because they were a part of this world. They made it possible for us to go forward. What they continued and started is left for us to continue and to start. And so here we are today to honor them, not just with words, but with our actions. And that's the other thing. It's one thing to say, and Moses was great, if Joshua had said Moses was great and Joshua never did what God wanted. Or we said, yeah, our family member who passed, you know, they're gone and you just say words, but you don't do anything. But that isn't the legacy they left us. They left us the legacy of doing. Of doing. That's why we're here. Because they didn't just talk. They did. Frank Cottle did. His family continues. Frank was very much a part of everything that has happened in this church. A minister tells the story of what took place at his church when he was a pastor in Norfolk, Virginia. He was out on the sidewalk welcoming people as they got out of their cars. About third in line was a father and his teenage son. The father has on a golf shirt, and he evidently was dropping his son off at church while he went to play golf. The pastor could hear the teenage boy complaining and asking why he had to go to church. The father replied, "When I was growing up, my daddy took me to church every Sunday, and you're going to go to church as well." Then the boy replied, "Well, it doesn't look like it did you much good, did it?" Research has established that parents can have a significant impact on the religious beliefs and practices of their children. In one recent study, it was found that fathers who frequently attend church over 3 times per month discuss their faith at home and are committed to their faith, have sons who follow the same pattern, concerning religious values and behavior. Interestingly, fathers who did not do these things had an inconsistent pattern of influence over their sons' faith response. Perhaps if we saw ourselves in the light of the saints, if we saw ourselves as the one who makes it possible for others to continue on, maybe we'd do a better job. Maybe we would be more faithful to the church. Maybe we would be more faithful in what we do out in the community. Maybe our children would see that we are true followers of Jesus Christ, and they too would be. Because that's what it takes, is us living it. In one recent study, it was found that fathers who frequently attend church, now let me stop there, it's also mothers, not just fathers. All studies show that children pick up where their parents have been and what their parents believe. How our children respond to God's call is reflected in how we respond to God's call. Being a living example is of the highest order in discipleship. It's not enough to tell your child you must go to church and you not. I told y'all this many years ago. My dad, when I was a small child, would always say, "Do as I say, not as I do." He later regretted that and changed his ways. But it was always, "Well, just do what I tell you." But what he saw in his children is we were becoming more like him. And that isn't what he wanted. So then he became the person he wanted us to be. More important than words, more important than writing a book, more important than reading meditations is living the gospel. We can talk about it, we can teach it, but if people don't see us live it, they don't believe it. For many years in Monterey, California, which, as you know, is a coastal town, there were pelicans. And the pelicans felt like they were in paradise. As the fishermen cleaned their fish, they flung the internal organs to the pelicans. The birds grew fat, lazy, and contented. In fact, they were so used to receiving this that when the internal organs became useful somewhere else, the birds never got it. The birds sat there, not fishing for themselves, and began to waste away. Some of them died. Well, the fishermen became worried. Their pelicans are dying. They didn't know what to do, but they went south and got some pelicans from further south and brought them up and put them with the pelicans they had. And the pelicans that were used to fishing for themselves took off and started fishing. The ones who were dying got up and started fishing for themselves. They saved the population. But someone had to set the example. They were used to just being fed. When that stopped, they just sat there and died. Same thing goes in the church. We got to pick up the mantle and take off and do the work that the people before us did and keep the church going and keep the ministries going. Because if we don't, we're just sitting here getting large and not caring, waiting for someone else to do the work for us. That's not a way to live. So what do you think Joshua did? Did he just sit around and say, "Well, there's not another one like Moses"? No, he got out there and he did the work. So many people in our nation and around the world are waiting for followers of Jesus to be an example of what a true follower of Jesus is like. That's what they want. When they look and they hear us talk but not act, they become disenchanted with the Christian faith. If we talk about loving our neighbor as ourselves, then we must be living examples of loving our neighbors. Not according to our own prejudices and concept of a neighbor, but by Jesus' concept, which means without prejudice and without judgment. If we talk about forgiving 7 times 70, then we must be living examples of forgiveness. not waiting for someone to ask for forgiveness, but just forgiving. Not refusing to ask for forgiveness for ourselves, but asking without hesitation in all circumstances. Just ask for forgiveness. If we talk about the poor needing help, then we must help the poor and not wait for someone else to do it or walk by someone in need and say to ourselves, well, I hope someone helps them. Folks, we need to realize we are someone. God made us someone. And if we say everyone is a child of God, then we must treat everyone as such. If we are calling people names because they don't believe like we do, or vote like we do, or raise their children like we do, then we are not treating them like a child of God, and we are not loving them as a child of God, and we are not setting a good example. Jesus helped a Roman centurion. Not a popular thing to do. Even his disciples didn't like it. He healed on the Sabbath. Not a popular thing to do. We know the Pharisees and Sadducees were very upset. He ran off the money changers. Not a popular thing to do. He ate with tax collectors and sinners. Not a popular thing to do. But as Jesus' example teaches us, following in his footsteps will often not be the popular thing to do. We are not a political party. We are not a superior race, regardless of our race. We are not better than others. This is what Jesus teaches us. We are brothers and sisters. We are part of the body of Christ. We are called into fellowship with everyone. Truth is, being a living example of Jesus' teachings is hard. To get most Christians to do it is like pulling teeth. Speaking of that, a little boy was afraid of the dentist, so his dad decided to set the example and have his teeth examined too. The dentist looked inside the father's mouth and said, "There's a tooth there that needs to be pulled." The father asked, "How much will it cost?" The dentist answered, "We charge $50 a tooth." Then the father asked, "How long will it take to actually pull the tooth?" The dentist answered, "About a minute." The father protested, "I get paid by the hour, and when I think of paying $50 for a minute's work, that is a terribly high hourly wage. Well, the dentist said, "I can pull it more slowly if you like." You know, $50 is a high wage, but that's all it takes. Being a Christian is sometimes like pulling teeth. So many of us say we want to be living examples of Christ, but we don't want to do it too quickly. So we start out young and we say, one day I'm going to be like Jesus. You go from your 20s to your 30s and you say, yep, I'm going to head back to church. I want to be a lot like Jesus. But then you're in your 40s and you say, well, I hadn't quite made it yet. There's things to do. But when I'm ready, I'm going to start being like Jesus. The 50s. Well, we settle a little more. But, you know, there's other things I'd rather do on a Sunday than go to church. Then it comes the 60s. And we start asking, what happened all the years before? Well, if I had just started back then, imagine what I could have accomplished for Christ. We like putting things off. We like thinking that, well, the day will come, and when it does, then I'll apply myself to living the Christian life. I've been talking about it. I was raised in the church, raised my kids in the church, and one day I'm actually going to try living like Christ. As I live my life, I will do a little Christian act along the way, and maybe they'll build up. No hurry. We may say to Jesus, how long will it take to actually become a Christian? How long will it take to be Christ-like? And the answer may be from Jesus, no time like the present. And if we were paid $50 to become living examples of Christ, the Lord would no doubt ask, can you do it more slowly? Because we want to do it like that when we get ready. But we're not sure when that's going to be. There is no time like the present. Ideally, we should start living our faith the day we commit to Christ. Doesn't that make sense? I want to be baptized. I want to be a Christian. I want to commit my life to Christ. We do get baptized. But the commitment, you've heard me say this before, and I'm sure you've seen it. People will come in, they get baptized, and you never see them again. Or they might come for a month, then you don't see them again. There's no time like the present. But especially if we are parents, at the latest, the day our children are born, why aren't we living examples then? Why is it that we wait so long? Because you see, children need a living example. Saints. The saints were living examples. To leave a legacy of love and forgiveness like those we celebrate today. My question for you, for all of us, are you a living example of Jesus to those around you? Would the people next to you say, oh yeah, when I see them, I think of Jesus. Because they live that life. Your children, your grandchildren, would they say that? Would they say, oh, I've just never seen anyone live the faith like my grandparent or my parent? Is that what they're going to say? Do people around you clamor to come to your church so they can see what this Jesus thing is like because they see it in you? Wow, how did you get to be like that? I want to go to church with you. If it's going to make me a better person and I can live my life like you, that's what I want to do. Set your mind on being a saint. As the song said in our opening songs, for all the saints who from their labors rest, who thee by faith before the world confessed, thy name, O Jesus. If we confess the name, let us live the life. Because that's leadership. That's when people come to Christ, is when they see us leading the way. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you today knowing that all too often we fail to live the life that you have given us an example for living. We find ourselves wrapped up in things that we shouldn't even be wrapped up in, and other things that are just distractions. So Lord, please fill us with your Spirit and give us what we need in terms of perseverance, of love, forgiveness, kindness, all of the things, all the spiritual gifts, that we may go forth and live the life that you have given us. For we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.